If you've been following along with us over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking with the folder at the back and each week a little blue paper so that we can hopefully have a think about it during the week and follow through what we're doing. Now, I just want to remind us all, myself included, that the Beatitudes weren't for everyone. They were for the disciples of Jesus. And we put ourselves in that category. We've made a commitment and we're followers of Jesus. So they're qualities of life for now, for the way we are to live. I don't know whether you think, oh, no, another great list of stuff that we're supposed to do. I don't think that's how Jesus taught it. I think what Jesus was saying to these people, if you want to live a life that's blessed by God, these are the qualities. And they're the qualities of heaven coming down to earth. Now, we just had read to us from chapter 6, the next chapter after the Beatitudes, and we've had the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how do we expect that to happen? Well, Jesus obviously expects it to happen through us. So what he's really saying is, this is how it will happen. And how will it happen? Because we say, it's too difficult. No, 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 he said. My Holy Spirit has come to you, dwelling in you, so it is possible to live like this and honour me and bring heaven down to earth. So I hope we don't think, this is a list that I can't live up to, and we just give up. But actually, I think it's a list that we say, isn't it great that God cared enough for me to give me guidelines as to how to live in a way that I am going to be blessed? Now, just in the start, a quick refreshment. Poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt. Can't do anything, only God. Mourning, yes, not just sitting down crying worries me, but really being sorry over our sin and the sin of the world and the sadness. Meek, being gentle towards others because we realise our poverty and their poverty. And then hungering and thirsting after righteousness, from bankruptcy and poverty, we're blessing others. So that's where we come in today, to verse 7 in chapter 5. Now, it's on the front of the little leaflet, so we've got it there. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. How incredible. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. The New Testament insists that if we are to be forgiven, we need to forgive. We had that at the end of the Lord's Prayer. If we forgive, we are forgiven. So the reverse must be true, is it not? That if you forgive men or women their sins, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. It's just we're forgiven people and so we forgive. And if we are going to receive mercy, we need to be merciful people. Well, what is mercy? And does it differ? Well, I see it like this. You might have a different idea. I see that mercy is the attitude and an openness that is willing to forgive. So, that if the father in the story of the prodigal son had said, never can that kid come back, that seems to me to be an act that is not an expression of mercy. Mercy seems to me, stands with both hands open saying, I am willing. I am willing because that's my heart. So that when the person comes and says, please forgive, there is already a heart that says, of course, of course. So we've got the unforgiving debtor story, you know, the story of the man who owed a lot of money to someone, to a creditor, and he went and said, please, please, please forgive. No, no, the man said, of course, you owe me a lot, it's dealt with. And that man who was forgiven a lot then went out and grabbed someone by the neck who in fact owed him a lot less and said, into jail until you can pay. A mixture of mercy and forgiveness. It's sometimes hard to separate some of those biblical words. I know people differentiate and say, well, in the Greek it's this or it's that. But when we put compassion in there as well, and we try and, well, what's compassion? We know forgiveness, yes, all of these things. But we are told, friends, that blessed are the merciful, people who have an attitude, an openness like the heart of God. The challenge to each one of us is, are we open? Now, we've got this word here that says this is the ability to get right inside another person's skin until we see things with their eyes, think things with their mind, and feel things with their feelings. In some situations, that's almost impossible, isn't it? To think the same as other people, to get inside of their skin and to understand where they're coming from. But perhaps this is the attitude of mercy, and to realise that we can't always understand as fully as God understands us. Sympathy is put there, which means a coming together, a bringing together of experience. Now, if we are people of mercy or of sympathy or of compassion, then we are people who don't just give away a Bible verse. We're careful about that. I don't know whether any of you have experienced being in a bad situation and someone has said, oh, God loves you. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's a reminder of the little boy who woke up at night quite frightened. And he ran to his mother's room. And she said, it's all right. Just go back to your bed. God loves you. And he went back, but he couldn't get back to sleep. So he ran back again and he said, Mum, I'm still scared. It's all right, love. Just go back to bed. God loves you. And he came the third time. And she said, it's all right. God loves you. He said, but I want someone with skin on. And I think that that's true for us sometimes. We need a God who understands us, and we know that God does. So let's not just be trite about this. If we are people of mercy, let's be open to people and to the difference in people. And hopefully, if we are, it will mean that we will avoid trite comment. It will avoid throwing away a Bible verse. Hopefully, we will become more sensitive and we will be able to tolerate and understand better and to forgive, as Matthew reminds us. Now, friends, there are some situations at the moment where we need to link that whole idea of forgiveness and mercy. We need to bring it together. So in COVID, now people have got different opinions. Some think, oh, if you haven't had an injection, haven't had the vaccination, you're ruining it for everyone else. Well, there are situations that maybe we don't understand with some people. We have friends who have come out years ago out of a communist situation. They are quite apprehensive about government control in certain situations. This particular person, clever, had to move country to study because as a Christian she wasn't allowed to study where she lived. So they're apprehensive about the COVID thing. Is this a bit too reminiscent of what they knew with government control? Now, we might say, oh, go ahead and have the injection. But we need to understand sometimes where people are coming from and just get into their skin and have a sympathy or a sympathetic understanding. What about kids in a family? What about children in a family? All brought up the same. They don't interpret it quite the same. And those of us who are parents or grandparents, we need to have an understanding that maybe depends where you are in the family structure. Maybe it depends on how parents treated you. And we need to understand that actually being aware of different situations in the family allows us to deal with children or grandchildren differently. Again, I remember when I was teaching, I had a girl in my class and her mother came up. Her mother was a dressmaker. And her mother came up and she was Italian. Mr. Rolfs, she said, how is it the two girls cut from the same pattern are so different? And I thought that's a good illustration from a dressmaker. How is it? And we think the same. All I'm saying, friends, is let's open our hearts to the mercy and the love of God. People in the church, we all think differently. But can't we give each other the benefit of the doubt and be compassionate towards each other? Then there are sudden outbursts that we don't always understand from people. One of the ladies who was a counsellor in a church I was in, there was a speaker at a women's group. They were having morning tea. And she said to the lady behind her, do you want a cup of tea? And the lady said, yes, but no milk. And she thought, how unusual, how unusual. And then when she sat down at morning tea with this lady and talked things through, she realised that she'd had an incredibly bad experience with the milk that we used to get at school in little bottles. And she'd lived in a country situation. The milk was always sour, but I don't know whether they had to drink it or whatever. But this woman could then just not deal at all with milk. But our friend Sheila thought, oh, what an incredible outburst. So isn't it wonderful that God understands us? How amazing. But there's that quote from Tutu, Desmond Tutu. I can forgive. I can't forget. I can't forget what happened in jail, but I can forgive. So God says to us, we need to be people of mercy with arms out, because then we receive the mercy of God. Yes, I know that people can be taken advantage of, but we're followers of Jesus. He was taken advantage of, misunderstood, because of his mercy and compassion towards people. So that's going to happen to us. And we haven't always been good. Within the church, the Crusades have not always been tolerant of different groups. We've not always been so tolerant of refugees. Although we have the illustration of certain people. But, and then people on the fringe. We mightn't understand them, but are we compassionate towards them? Are we compassionate towards them? So, friends, let's open our hearts. because this is our God, the God of mercy and of compassion. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is gracious and merciful. Some of you are old enough to remember an old hymn that went, "Depth of mercy can there be, mercy still reserved for me." And really what the writer of that hymn, I think, was saying was, there is the mercy of God, arms outstretched, and here am I coming into that mercy. And is there any left for me? Yes, there is, because the depth of that mercy, the depth of that compassion reaches out. Now, the question is, has your mercy, or has my mercy, my compassion towards people dried up? Am I sick of people? Oh, not again. Not that person again. Not that problem again. Do you think that's how God ever reacts? No. And even when we come confessing, God says, yep, you confessed yesterday, it's gone. So friends, we need to be people of mercy and of forgiveness. Sometimes they interweave, but we need to be open. We need to have that attitude. Yes, yes, because I don't fully understand people, I'll accept. And you come, and I can embrace you, the same as God does that to me. And then the beauty of Jesus. The Word, or Christ, Jesus, became a human being and lived here on earth among us, full of loving forgiveness and truth. How wonderful. And the Bible goes on to say, because as a human he dwelt among us, so he understands us. No one understands us as fully as God. He understands our thoughts. We don't understand each other's thoughts. We don't understand how we each think. And we all think differently. But God understands us. So let's be people of mercy and of compassion. How wonderful if the Christian church just opened itself. Now, I don't mean just accept any behaviour, and I don't mean we accept what everyone thinks, because God has standards, but I do mean that we need to accept people and love people and attempt to understand people as God understands us. And then the second beatitude this morning are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's interesting, isn't it? For they shall see God. The transparency of life. None of us, I don't think, want our life, particularly not our thoughts, to be plonked up on the screen next Sunday morning. I don't think anyone of us would be delighted. But what does pure in heart mean? It means the transparency of our public and private life, unmixed motives. It comes from that idea of catharsis. Boom! You know, when people say, I've had a cathartic experience, and just let everything out. And then I felt clean or healed or restored. And it comes from that sort of idea. It comes from the idea of cleaning. It comes from the idea of when they threw the grain up in the air and separated the chaff from the grain. It comes from the idea of separating the pure metal from the dross. It comes from that idea of purity and cleanliness and transparency. So, However, it means that we need to have a good, honest look at ourselves. And we need to have a look at ourselves through the lens of God's word. And we only see what we want to see. You know, the guy who's got the great log in his eye, looking at one little bit of sawdust in someone else's. And sometimes that's exactly us. That it's easy to see the speck in someone else's eye, but it's pretty hard sometimes to take the log out of our own. So this is what Jesus is saying to these people. Hey, pure in heart, what are your motives really? Where do you really stand? So it's only really by God's grace and his mercy, his forgiveness and his love, that we can deal honestly with ourselves. It's only in that way that we can keep ourselves pure and clean from the effect of sin. So the pure in heart, we can see God now by faith. We will see in a different way in the future. A friend of mine was having trouble with pornography, and so I said to him, how have you coped? And he said, you know, Colin, the way I coped was one day I was reading the Beatitudes and I read, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. And he said, I'm not pure in heart. And I was horrified that I wouldn't see God. And that changed him. Now, I don't say that it changes everyone, because I don't think that we all take it so seriously. But he certainly did. So for him, that was a change in life, because he realised that there was a challenge here for the pure in heart to see God. And we say, oh, is it possible? Is it possible for us to live like that? Jesus, is it possible to have this standard? And he says, of course. Of course. One, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse and forget. So, if I'm serious about dealing with things in my life that maybe either block my vision of God or bring in a vision of something that shouldn't be there, God says, confess, forgiven, get on with it. And we need to deal with it like that. So, friends, what are we talking about today? Well, two things that challenge us. Mercy towards other people and purity of heart towards ourselves. Now, I don't think if we're not right with God, we're not going to be concerned at all about other people. But if we are right with God and we're walking as we should and knowing his forgiveness and love and the depth of his mercy, then we can show that forgiveness and mercy to others. That's bringing heaven onto earth through us. That's evangelism, isn't it? Isn't that how we're meant to live? It sounds simple. I'm aware it's not. But with God's help, it's possible. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning and we realise that we are greatly challenged. We're challenged in our attitude towards other people, in our attitude of mercy and of compassion and our willingness to forgive. And we realise that if we're not willing to forgive, well, that just reverberates on us, that we don't know forgiveness. And then, Father, we realise too that there's a purity of heart, a pure motive, unmixed. So, Father, we ask that we would allow your Spirit to search us and know our hearts in order that we might be people who know not only your forgiveness, but a purity before you that allows us then to live a life that brings glory to your name. Lord, we just don't want a list of these things, do this, do that, do the other. We want them to be our experiences each day. We want to be sincere with you, for we are people who want to bring heaven to earth. And we ask this through Jesus. Amen.